This is CliffCentral.com.
Matt Tiernison, if you're listening, this is for you. Don't call me Gaffer. Don't call me Gaffer.
Nah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't. Whose child
that.
Is this?
Yeah?
Whose child is he?
Who? Matt?
Yeah.
Mr. Tiernison? Mr. and Mrs. Tiernison?
Nonsense.
Sanbonani nonke, welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, it's 9 o'clock, and you are listening to Frankly Speaking. It is a very interesting show today. Rory, you standing up for this show?
This show deserves us stand to stand up. It's I can't believe it. As somebody said, Greg Nicholson said, revolting. And we've got the revolters in the studio.
The revolters? Are they the revolters?
They're revolters because Greg said what they did was revolting.
You can't like start with our guests like that.
Revolting.
They have a show on this platform.
They're going to call us and they're going to do the same to us. It's okay.
Oh, okay. So because it's our platform.
Yeah,
we can do whatever we want.
Yes.
Well, it's true. I mean, Gareth Cliff did say that I'm a fucking idiot.
He did?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. The other day when he was interviewing these two, he said that a social justice warrior, they must go fuck themselves.
Yeah, I'm not a social justice warrior.
I'm not either, but okay, he thinks I am. So he basically said, go fuck yourself.
Really?
Which is cool. I mean, that's how we start the show today.
Fantastic.
Yeah. There we go. It's Unradio. That's how we go. Mm. All right. What are we talking about today?
So, our white tears worth, how much have you guys raised so far?
Oh, well, ourselves, we did 44,777 rand and 70 cents. But all together...
hold on a second. People aren't hearing you correctly. That's a problem.
Yeah,
hold on.
I can't hear.
Ramon's got a good mic. I don't. There we go. That's the right mic.
I promise I wasn't trying to put you off there. There we go.
Yeah. Just.
How much again? Yeah. Say that again.
44,777.70 from our campaign. And the American one closed yesterday.
Yeah, $6,800 US. Yeah.
What a payday, hey, for just crying. Well done, guys.
Oh, cheers.
It's fantastic.
Wow. So why do you think Greg would just call you guys revolting? Oh, you guys have been... This has made you famous. This is fantastic. So
I was famous before
your
this.
Your show is... No, you're a non-entity, man. Come on. So your show...
16,000 Twitter followers against... I don't know how many you have.
Well done.
Otherwise.
You bought them. Well done. It's a white privilege.
With white capital,
privilege.
Hey?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Must have been.
So,
like the sound effect?
So, thank you. We're trying here.
So you guys have been going to all these interviews and so on. What's the general sentiment around what you guys have done?
Well, everyone except on Twitter thinks it's fantastic.
Really?
And then you got five cunts on Twitter. Oh, sorry. I said it. Five idiots on Twitter saying it's horrible.
I think cunts is okay. I mean, they've made themselves out to be what they are.
Did this come from Matt Tiernison's vocabulary? I know he used cunts and kaffir in the same thing.
We don't use the K word because we're not bigots like Matt Tiernison.
Or like
Intercorsa Kwabe or like Conrad Koch.
Oh, but cunts is okay.
Cunt is perfectly fine. Does it hurt your feelings? Do you need a safe space? Did I give a trigger warning to your show, Andrew Levy? Where's your trigger warning, Andrew? There's no trigger warning on the show.
Jonathan,
it's terrible. It's hurtful.
Who's triggered?
Jonathan,
you need...
Ramon wants me to bring it down.
Hold on, Jonathan.
Relax. What's your problem?
Wait. Let's just start the show off correctly. We're speaking about white tears and whether they're worth 47,000 rand plus 80,000 rand. Jonathan Roman, thank you so much for joining us. You're part of the Renegade Report.
Indeed. Thank you for having us.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming. We are going to talk about a little bit about what happened and also find out exactly why you did what you did. Because a lot of people have got their thoughts, their reasons for saying they hate you or they love you, so on and so on. So we want to give you that platform. And then, Rory, you want to have your say as well, I believe. Now, Jonathan, you can attack all you like, but I'll just switch your mic off. So let's try and keep it civil,
mate.
It's
called no platforming, and it's what the left loves.
Yeah, there we go. We just practiced it right there. The left love to do it. So welcome to the show. So let's try keep it as civil as possible.
But why are we fighting?
I haven't even started.
I'm confused.
You rang the bell.
They rehearsed. They rehearsed for us. They rehearsed for us.
All right. We're also going to speak to Sihle. Who is based in Cape Town. He was the person, I believe, that gave $50 to this waitress.
Indeed.
After hearing about Ntokozo's behavior. Rory, let's just, before we chat to these two gentlemen and Sihle, let's just talk about Ntokozo quickly. Because it wouldn't be fair to just, speak about what happened afterwards. But let's just talk about Ntokozo quickly and what you feel about Ntokozo?
I think it was an idiotic thing to do.
It was foolish.
It was idiotic. I think you. So here's it was an act of bullying in my view. I just don't understand it, right? If I'm not gonna tip, let me just not tip and walk out, right? I don't need to.
She might have given bad service and then.
Yeah, just like I don't need to then, you know, grandstand about it for what, you know, for what, but. But then what follows for me doesn't justify it. They're not connected. Mm-hmm. Right? So that the fact that what Ntokozo did was wrong doesn't make this entire campaign justified in my view.
He was foolish.
He was foolish in my mind.
There are a lot of foolish people out there.
There are a lot of foolish people.
Okay. All right. So I think Jonathan and Roman, you would agree with that?
That there are foolish people out there?
No. That Ntokozo was foolish and stupid.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know who would defend him. I've seen some people try, but it's not working for the majority of people.
Rhodes must fall if continue to defend him. So
this is an interesting thing that we see, you know, because I've been listening to you guys a lot over the last few days, seeing the stuff that you put on Twitter, and it's interesting. Your views are very interesting because they come from a very different perspective. What is it? Neoliberal? You're an anarchy... Anarchist, so that means, and please, I'm sorry, I'm not as educated as Mr. Doctor here and Mr. Lawyer over here, just give me the language in simple form. It means you don't believe that there should be a government?
Well, no, governments are fine. I don't think there should be states.
There shouldn't be states. What's the difference?
Well, the government is a class of people that hold a leadership position in a society.
Uh-huh.
A state is an arbitrary border based on, in Africa, at least colonial powers
that okay.
put them there. So okay. there's a big difference between choosing your leaders and choosing the state.
Okay. So people in Swaziland should be part of South Africa. People in South Africa should be part of Swaziland.
Well, I think people should be able to freely move wherever the hell they want to be honest.
I like that. Jonathan, what would you classify yourself as?
A bit difficult. I'm not as fixed as Ramon. Somewhere between classical liberal and libertarian.
And a classical liberal, help me understand here, is someone who believes the individual is much more important than a group, a collective.
Yeah, there is no such thing as a collective.
Because
the minute you talk about blackness or whiteness, you try to put all those people into one group, and people aren't just black and they aren't just white.
Right.
So those That's are just two arbitrary okay. examples.
That's a lot of bullies.
Let's
libertarianism, which I think is also important because it speaks to the government side of things, is essentially talks to having a smaller government which does less, interferes less with the people. A classical libertarian, which I'm not entirely, because I do believe in some social sort of system, but a classical libertarian would say, you know, they want a government that basically protects the borders, does policing, and provides some sort of justice system. That's All right. it. Nothing else.
Okay, good. I want us to start there just because I want us to put out the cards on the table, right? That's where you guys sit. Sihle is on the line. Should we just bring him in quickly, Rory, just to see where this started? And then we can get back to these two.
You wanted
to say that's a load of BS. That's a load of bullshit. What's your story here?
It is, but it's fine. Let's get Sihle in first. Let's at least understand what we're talking about.
Sihle.
Hi, hello.
Sawubona, Sihle.
Yes, hi everybody.
How are you?
I'm quite well. Thank you for having me on the show.
No, thank you. You started this, which is quite interesting because I'm sure you didn't believe that it was going to go this far or in this direction.
Not at all.
Just give us a little bit of your background, Sihle. Where are you from?
So I'm from Umlazi, Durban, and I now live and work in Cape Town after having come down to Cape Town to do my master's at UCT, which I couldn't finish because of funds and... Yeah.
So you're a fees must fall guy, huh?
Well, not at all. That's another
irony.
That's another completely different situation.
You're not a fees must fall.
I'm a student who received help to get education guy, but not a destroy institutions and burn campuses in order to get your way type of guy. But in any event, I had to then work like any other person to make money.
Mm-hmm.
I then decided to live and stay in Cape Town.
And you are also a neoliberalist, eh?
No, what is neoliberal? No, I'm a classical liberal.
Oh, sorry, classical. Jeez, you see, I don't understand any of this stuff, Rory.
I don't know what I am.
So basically, you also, you believe that the individual is more important than the collective. There's no such thing as a collective, and there's too much power in government. Correct?
Could in argue short. That. It's better to just almost say, you know, it's more about self-ownership. I have a right to my life and my liberty, and I'm free to choose two things or three things. One, I'm free to choose as a person. That's what I meant to say. It's believing in free market and that the individual has agency and decides their course of life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so sorry, I didn't introduce you correctly. Sihle Ngobesi, he's the spokesperson for the Western Cape Social Development. So you're in local government and you're free to choose the individual over the government. Good, okay, we're here. This is awesome. I like this. This is a great start. Sihle, why did you go and give $50 to this waitress?
I gave $50 to another human being. I think at the most basic level, the story registered to me on an emotional level because I read essentially of what a bully did to another human being, and you know he then gloated on social media about having reduced another person to tears. I mean, anybody who reads a story like that, regardless of what your political worldview is or your predisposition is on issues, can see at its most basic level that this was a bully taking pride and pleasure in having reduced another person to tears. So mine was just to say, you know, let me actually meet this person, find out who she is as a person, and as a gesture, as a small gesture of humanity, give her the tip that the likes of Kwabe and his Rosemary's Fall friend felt she was not entitled to or she wasn't deserving to. Why? Because kindness is free. You know, the tip was only $50, but the kindness is free.
Do you often do this, Sihle?
Insofar as anybody who renders a service to me should be remunerated.
No, that's not what I asked about. No. I mean, do you often go around Cape Town, specifically Cape Town, because we know Cape Town, you know, little dodge around the mountain there, you know? But do you often go around and try and right human wrongs?
Well, again, with suggesting I should be a crusader, maybe not. But if something comes to my attention that touches my heartstrings, then of course okay. I get involved. Of course I give charitably. Of course I donate time and resources to things that I care about. So insofar as things that matter to me in terms of causes that matter to me, yeah, of course I do. And this is just one of them. You know, it wasn't pre-planned. It wasn't I'm doing this to stick it to someone. But I did it only because I could see another human being being reduced to just her skin color by a bully who views the world in a racist manner. And that's not the South Africa I know. In fact, that's very un-South African. And I decided to act like any other individual with agency would have.
Absolutely. You seem to be a very good guy. So you come from Umlazi. You grew up, it sounds like, around general poverty and so on. And on this instance, this particular instance, you felt the need to go and search. So the news says you went basically searching for this person to right this particular wrong. You grew up in Umlazi, so I imagine you had all these people all around you, the people from your hometown and so on, the people in Cape Town. You walked past all of those people and you had to find this one. What was it about this one specifically?
Well, I'm actually trying to ascertain what you're implying. You know, by virtue of the fact that I don't live next to this girl, neither do I live next to where she works, neither do I live in Umlazi. Of course, by that very nature, I'm going to have to travel a certain distance to get to where she was.
I understand. So I imagine that you walked past a number of different cases. So I'm just trying to understand, what was it about this one?
Well, I think your understanding is a bit tainted already in the questioning, and I want to flesh that out of it. So what you're essentially implying
No, I'm not implying. I'm asking a question. I'm saying, what is it about this case? I'm not implying anything. What is it about this case? This is not the first case. This is not the first case where you have where you have this sort of injustice on a human being. You had a case of a person, a domestic worker in Cape Town, being shamboked for thoughts that she is a prostitute. That didn't pull your heartstrings. You say that you responded on an emotional level. I understand that. I hear you. So I'm saying, what was it about this particular case that said, you know, I need to find this person. I need to give them $50.
Two things. One, this one actually came to my attention through a online news article, which I happen to follow. And essentially, you know, the Roads Must Fall movement, which is something I was following online also. And the two just seemed opposed. On the one hand, it's intention versus outcomes, where Roads Must Fall often argue that they support and stand for the downtrodden and the working class and those who are at a disadvantage in society versus the outcomes of what one of their activists actually did.
So you weren't aware of the domestic worker that got shamboked. You weren't aware of.
Luckily, in that particular instance, that individual used the state in order to find redress. They later charged, the individual was charged, he's facing court action. I'm not the state.
We're not talking about the state. You said this responded. Your response was an emotional response to the story. It had nothing to do with the state. You didn't say I waited to see if government was going to do anything about it. You said it was an emotional. I was drawn to this thing emotionally, and I sought out this woman, and I gave her $50. I'm saying that incident of a black woman being shamboked because somebody decided that she looks like a prostitute. Were you aware of it, and what was different about that particular case? Using your own framework of how this came about to be a special one in your case.
Absolutely. In that first instance, that was a crime. The individual concerned with shambocking someone, assaulted someone. So that was a crime, and that person rightfully so, the victim that is, rightfully so reported the matter, and this individual is facing charges. So why are you trying to elevate me to a mistake, almost Messiah level?
No, my friend. I'm not elevating you to anything. I think you're an idiot. I honestly don't. I'm not elevating you to Messiah level. Trust me, you're not a Messiah in my. You're not a Messiah in my eyes. I'm just trying to understand.
But your argument suggests that I should be in the sense of being omnipotent, seeing everything and addressing everything, and that's not the case.
I'm asking, what was it about this case? You are not answering. I said, what was it about this case? You're saying it's because government, it was a criminal thing.
I'm sorry, you need to conduct this interview with a bit more actual tact.
I don't have to. I don't have to do anything.
Well, then why would you bring me onto the show if you don't want to hear what I have to say?
Ask the person that called you.
Sitle.
I do not understand. This is unprofessional.
Sitle.
I'm not a professional. That's true. I'm not a professional journalist.
Sitle, anyway. I'm interested in Rory's question because he's like, let's cut out government and what they should do and what you should do. He's just simply asking what made the emotional heartstrings go ballistic in this case other than other cases?
Okay. Firstly, do not put words in my mouth. You know, I don't go ballistic over this. This was something which is very accessible. You know, on the one hand, let's just clear things up. One, it isn't a crime for someone not to tip someone, but it's rather mean to firstly do that and then gloat about it. So no crime was committed here. Let's just clarify that. In the other instance that he raised to try and sort of equate the two, that was a crime. You know, someone beat someone out. Purely based on the fact that he assumed, I don't know the full story, I'm just going on what he said, that he assumed that person was a prostitute. And as far as what I know of the story, that individual is facing charges and the right institutions are dealing with that. Now, in this particular instance, this person, you know, Guade that is, didn't really commit a crime. However, morally, what he did was questionable. Just like morally, what that other person did is wrong.
Okay, that's fair.
My choosing to act on one doesn't negate the other,
sure.
What the questioner is trying to suggest. And I detest that that implication in his line of questioning.
Sitle, like I would want to spend a lot more time with you. Unfortunately, we've got two guys here who are chomping at the bit who want to get involved in this conversation. We're going to let you go and continue with Jonathan Witt and Roman in studio. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. There was Sitle Ngobesi who started this movement by giving 50 Rand. Jonathan Roman, you heard about Sitle's thing over Twitter, is that correct?
Well, we're friends with him.
You're friends with him?
Mm-hmm.
Over Twitter?
Yeah.
You believe in the same stuff?
Well, he wasn't a guest on our podcast.
Okay. And then you decided to get involved?
Yes. Send out a few tweets, make a couple of $100 for the lady, let's see what came in, and exceeded all expectations.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that would be seen normally, I suppose, as a really good deed, like you wanted to help out.
It was a good deed until I hit 20,000, and then the trolls came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have to thank them. I mean, they've increased Rory claims we're famous from this. It's not so much, but our account, after they started complaining, after Jacques wrote a thing, after Chester tweeted at us, that's when we really picked up a lot of exposure from them. So thanks a lot. We weren't trying to do that at all, but they managed to do that. They didn't care when it was a small amount.
You think you guys are heroes?
They cared when it was, no, not at all.
Not at all.
The donors are, though.
So what was your role in this? What do you think you did? So you're saying thank you very much, and so on. What are you thanking them for doing what specifically?
Giving us attention.
Attention-seeking exercise.
They gave us attention.
Yes, they gave you attention. You're right. A publicity stunt.
Which we never asked for, never went looking for.
So publicity stunt. Well done,
Jeff. Don't they have agency?
Not a publicity stunt, because a publicity stunt implies you're going to look for it. Mm. You start out with that intention.
You didn't do
See,
that?
Here's the thing.
You didn't do that?
Andrew, no, we didn't, and we've already stated that clearly. But Andrew, you're saying to us that, you know, we why did we start the campaign and what did we do? Mm. We just started it, and you're saying, well, it seems like a good thing. It's a good thing all the way, because here's what happens, right? If you look at any deed, you want to look at what are the outcomes. So if someone has intentions, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's the problem, right? Good intentions even have bad outcomes. Mm. There is no bad outcome here.
Okay, but let me ask you something. So I agree with that, Jonathan, but maybe I don't agree with that, but let me ask you this. Why did you feel the need to get involved in this specific case? I just want to understand that.
Because we wanted to. Do we need it?
I'm just trying to understand where your headspace was. I'm not being attacking, guys.
I'm not attacking you.
I'm asking where your headspace was.
Can I answer?
Go for it.
Here's a lady. We thought she needs a bit of help in her life. She was treated poorly by someone in the public eye. Let's send a few $100 to her, send out a few tweets. Our intention, help her out. What more is there to say?
Jonathan?
Yeah, it's same exactly thing. That. We had minimal engagement. Our belief was that we would earn at most about 1,000 or 2,000 Rand. That was what we believed. We sent each other a WhatsApp and said, yeah, let's do it. I'll give you 100, 150 bucks.
So why did you then have to publicize it?
Because two people and 100 or 150 bucks only makes 200. And if you're trying to reach a decent amount and you're trying to make a statement, the statement was, not all people are bad like this. Not all people are into cause of quabes. Not all people are hateful bigots.
Easy. So I think...
Let me understand.
I'm with
facts, Rory.
So you're with facts.
You with
Fantastic.
Facts. I want you to bring one fact to the
Fantastic.
Table.
Fantastic.
You're trying to decimate Sichle with nothing.
Shut up. I need to say something to you.
Of course,
right?
you don't like it at all. You always have to be the biggest voice in the room, but you're not today.
Shut up. Just shut up so I can talk,
That's
you
what
idiot.
The left loves
yeah,
to
listen,
do. Shut up.
Listen, so help me understand. You needed to make a statement, right? And then in making that statement,
person affected.
Yes, but then you needed to publicize it. So why did you need to publicize it if you were making a statement to the person affected?
Do you know how social media works?
That's a stupid question. Just say what you need to say.
Well, your statement is stupid, so I had to answer it with a stupid question.
But it's a stupid question. Just say what you need
to
say.
If you want to raise money...
Say what you need to say.
If you want to raise money amongst a small group of people, and you need to publicize it, you have to publicize it.
But you said you were making a statement to that person. You could have tweeted, you could have sent messages.
We tweeted to our few followers.
You said you got 16,000 followers.
I do.
You're contradicting yourself.
Renegade Report ran it. And Renegade Report at the time... time had something like 300 followers.
You're contradicting yourself.
Let me ask you this.
I'm not contradicting myself. I've just made it clear which account tweeted what.
Easy. Let me ask you something.
Why are you hot under the collar? You are about facts. You're not about emotion.
I'm not the one telling you to shut up.
But you're busy shaking and so
on.
Why are you hot under the collar?
You want to come in and film this? I'm not shaking at all, Rory. Guys.
No, but why are you hot under the collar?
You want to depict something that isn't
here. Why are you hot under the collar? So I want to understand. I want to understand something.
I'm listening.
You're hot under the collar. You're about facts. Why can't we just talk about facts without you being emotional?
Because you don't talk about facts and I haven't gotten emotional.
Okay, so give me facts.
Do you guys agree?
I've given you plenty.
Can I ask you something? You have a personal vendetta against the Roads Must Fall movement, yes or no?
No, not at all.
Not at all. You do. You're actually fine with them.
Just can we define what you say as a vendetta?
What do you mean by vendetta?
Because if you...
You don't like Roads Must Fall.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No.
Jonathan, you don't like Roads Must Fall?
Not in the least.
So let me ask you this, and please, I mean, try to be as open as possible. If it Ntokozo wasn't involved with Roads Must Fall, would this issue have really hit you as hard? Be honest, because I think
I have no idea.
I think the truth is it wouldn't have. It wouldn't have. So it's not about publicity. I don't think you guys were going out there to get publicity. But I do think you were going out to be like, this guy Ntokozo is part of Roads Must Fall, which we hate. Right, which we dislike.
I don't hate anyone. I
dislike
ideas.
Right, dislike. Okay. I'm putting words in your mouth.
There's
dislike. Right?
Right.
And therefore, we want to prove a point. Yes or no?
No, this was didn't start off as a proving a point against Roads Must Fall. Well, when they then started attacking us on Twitter and we owned them, it was highly pleasurable. But it didn't start off
okay.
as that.
You're a doctor. You're a lawyer, right?
Legal consultant.
Legal consultant. Mm-hmm. Anaesthetist. Right, you guys make good. You guys make pretty good money, right?
Not really.
We don't have to talk about the amounts.
I don't know what good money is, but yeah. I assume by general
by South African
yes.
standards, you make good money, right? Okay,
probably. Yeah.
So, if you wanted to, for example, you wanted to raise a couple of thousand rand,
right?
That was your intention in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys could have put that money together, just the two of you.
Sure.
Maybe.
Why? Why not?
Well, you're assuming my disposable income. So just because I earn a certain amount doesn't mean I have a certain amount of disposable income.
But you felt strongly about this, right?
I felt strongly enough to give her a tip and see if other people would be keen to give her a tip.
Did you guys personally put money down for this?
Yes.
Both of us, yeah.
How much?
150 each.
150 rand each.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm just trying to understand this a little bit better, guys, because the truth of the matter is...
I may ask a question.
You okay. may. You
Thank
may ask
you.
A question.
Thank you. What do you actually want to ask us? What is the crux of your argument as to why this is not a good act?
Let me maybe try and answer this. I think you guys speak about whatever boxes you put yourselves in about I even forget an anarchist and so on and so on. And this suggestion that they're individuals in South Africa. We are living in a country. That is where we are all interconnected. This thing that I don't believe in collectivism is BS. I'm speaking about myself,
sure.
right? So allow me to speak. You wanted an answer. I'm giving you an answer, no?
And I'm letting you give it.
Fantastic. So this whole thing in a country, it's just like Gareth, right? Speaking as if he's speaking into a vacuum on things. That's not the country we live in. We live in a country where our past, the voices of the people of our past continue to resonate. We live in a country where the present and the people that live in the present continue to be affected by what's happened in the past, and where we as individuals are all connected. We're connected by the history of this country. So for you guys
like
to simply...
Not, right?
so, yeah, so you like it or not, that is the context that we live in.
Okay,
now I'm still answering you,
go
right?
Ahead.
So this whole ideology that no, we're just doing this for an individual or and this has nothing to do with anyone else, that is absolute BS. And it is revolting in the way that Greg Nicholson said as well, because it's the suggestion that the issues of this country only matter to people like yourselves when they affect people of your own skin color. Because we've had these issues before. We've had many, many issues in South Africa, right? They affect many more people. There is nothing wrong with going and giving a tip to somebody. That's not the issue. But you guys are pretending like this happens in a vacuum. And it is incorrect. It is disingenuous for people who say they believe in facts. It's disgusting. And then you come here and pretend. You pretend as if, no, we actually don't realize that this is part of a broader context. We don't know why the trolls are coming out. They have said very specific things to you guys. You're not addressing those things. You're not addressing the question of Black South Africans, for example, have been speaking about issues of land, right? Redress, right?
Yeah, some
and
of them.
I know your views, right? So your views are likely not those that no, we need to redress. Let's give back the land. Dude, I'm answering you, right?
Yes, and you're wrong because it's a fallacy.
No,
what you say?
No. Shut up, so I can answer. No.
I'm a guest on the show, and I will speak on the
show. I don't care. You can leave if you want to.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So if you don't like it, then leave. Here's the point. There are issues of redress. There are issues of redress in this country. And when we speak about those issues of redress, we're told, no, you guys need to get over it. Or no, let's be done with the past. All of those things. No, listen.
Where have I said that?
You are speaking in a context of this broader country where Black South Africans,
Wait, let's hear.
So I can answer you. So where Black South Africans are continuously told that we need to bear in mind the effect, for example, of what those actions will do to an economy that most of us have no agency in, right? Don't tell me it's bullshit. That is a fact. Most Black South Africans do not have a meaningful stake in the economy of South Africa. Is that bullshit?
Some do.
Some. Most South Africans. I said most, David. Did you not hear me? Most South Africans do not have agency.
You can still be courteous, Rory, while making your points.
I have no words.
Invite us? Why invite us?
Because I wanted to understand. I wanted to understand. I've heard you.
All you're doing is stereotyping.
You haven't heard us. You just told us what we think about land redress, but you've never heard what we actually think about land redress. You've just made a straw man argument.
You guys are grandstanding, using an issue that was never supposed to be a grandstanding issue. You guys are grandstanding and using it and pretending as if it's disconnected to the broader context of South Africa. It is disingenuous, it is disingenuous, and it goes to the heart of this lack of empathy for the struggles of the broader South Africa. You should be disgusted with yourselves.
We're not.
All right, so let's find out. Do you see what Rory's trying to say about this idea of your act?
You know what Rory's doing? Rory's putting us in a box, right? He's putting us...
What box do you think you're in?
That's middle class whites who say, oh, apartheid was 20 years ago, get over it. Don't worry about the past and land, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Where have I ever said any of those things before, Rory?
But
prove it to me and then I'll...
But hold on, Roman, hold on.
No, it's my turn to talk. Number one, he's stereotyping us. Number two, his argument is completely fallacious.
In what way?
By saying that we believe in these things, by saying that this thing is inherently evil because there are so many injustices. Where the hell is he? What's he doing about it? What are you doing the injustices? Well, what are you doing about it, right?
You can ask me, but I don't think that's right. The right way. You're not going to win on that one.
You're not going to win on that one.
No, because there are 10 stray dogs at the SPCA. It doesn't mean you're bad if you adopt one and not the other nine.
No, but you're not going to win. Let's leave that one.
You should leave that one alone.
And don't touch it.
I'll tell you, I guarantee
you I've done 10 times more than any of you. If you want to do a dick measuring competition, we can whip it out right fucking here.
Calm down.
Why are you getting so frustrated?
Because he just did the collectivization thing.
I'm so shaking.
I'm listening.
He just did the collectivization thing. He did the typical thing where he goes, all white people
typical
think like this.
Typical of what?
Typical of left regressives. He did the typical regressive left thing, which collectivizes everyone based on either their race or their gender or whatever you happen to pick on the day. Mm. You know, the Special Olympics of the regressive left. Mm. And so he went, oh, white people. All right, cool. Ramon and Jonathan. Okay, I'll do exactly what Rhodes Must Fall said. They right wing because they don't agree with me because I'm on the left. Mm. So they must be on the right. He doesn't know what we think about these things.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Do you think that your action or your act, right, is a little bit in a vacuum, given the fact that this country has so many problems, given the fact that so many waiters, right, feel and experience this on a daily basis? On a daily basis. And I can tell you this for free, guys. I was a waiter back in the day.
So was I.
Good. So then you know that you get treated like shit. That's the way the waitering industry works. No one cares what your name is, who you are.
We can agree on this.
Great. So that's fantastic. So now all I'm asking is, don't you think that your act of raising money, doesn't matter how much it is, of raising
that
money.
It doesn't matter how much it is. That's the thing, though.
Let's not bring that into it.
Jacques Rousseau, who everyone has cited.
I'm not Jacques Rousseau.
I'm sorry, but Conrad and everyone else has cited him as their main article that they are referencing. And he has said that the money matters.
Jonathan, I'm an individual. I'm not worried about what
you're
Jacques
using
says.
Collectivism.
I'm not worried about what Chester said. I'm asking you, in this country where we have such and so many issues, right, do you think, upon reflection, that, hey, this could have been something that maybe we should have thought a little bit more about?
No, I don't regret a thing.
You don't regret a thing?
I don't regret a thing.
Do you think that, given the context of South Africa, that there is other things you could have done?
All the other things I'm going to do, perhaps.
So you're
going to
raise money for other waiters that get...
No,
because you don't want to be a fundraiser. You said that on Twitter.
I'm not
Twitter.
A professional fundraiser.
You're not.
Dude, listen, both of you, with respect. I sent out a few tweets, okay? I expected a few $100 to come in.
Then why did you answer to all the media and so on? Why didn't you just say, guys, look, all I was doing was just raising a few bucks. I don't run away from grandstanding. So you were grandstanding.
Because I don't run away from interviews.
Oh my goodness. This is
and people asked for what the story was. The interviews that you're so upset about simply asked, please tell us what happened. The interviews, for the most part, were 2-minute pieces.
But it didn't. It's not about whether.
But why are you so upset about the interviews?
I'm not upset. Let me just understand.
But why are you bringing them up?
I'm simply saying to you guys, if that was all it was, we were just doing our part. Everybody else that's contributed to this thing hasn't gone on and become media stars about it. So I'm just wondering why did you then decide to become the poster boys for this campaign? You didn't have to be, right? You have not issued anything to the media and said, guys, we were not the ones that actually started this. You have been identified as the people who catalyzed this thing. Well, no,
that's how things happen. Journalists look for stories, they look for who started it.
No, I understand.
The three people
in this case, Sitle and us. But you have not said, no. You know what? Maybe we should go to Sitle.
But that's what
they have gone to Sitle.
There's
plenty of articles.
They've gone to Sitle, but you guys have not said, look, we're standing back.
Where do you think
they got our number
from? Sitle gave it to
you. Yeah, but then you simply say, hey, guys, look.
There's nothing wrong with us doing interviews. I'm sorry, this is an illogical argument.
But you're grandstanding. That's your problem. You're grandstanding.
Well, I haven't done one interview,
you
as it happens.
Grandstanding.
Grandstanding.
Oh, no, but now are you separating yourself from Roman?
Hey, I'm not. No, I'm not separating at all. But you're trying to make a point that either one of us is grandstanding. So,
but you are grandstanding, because if you were not grandstanding, then you would have simply given your donation quietly, and then
we did
and
give
then,
the donation quietly.
Said, no,
in fact,
then,
we were asked
then,
to do a handover ceremony,
have,
and we refused.
And then you would not have turned this thing into the media circus.
The
that
media
it's become.
Turned this into a media circus. The left turned this
and
into a media circus. Roads Must Fall turned this into a media circus. No, we've enjoyed showing their bigotry up.
Their bigotry?
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Mr. Kwabe's behavior is a bigotry, no?
No, but you're talking about the
leftists. Yes,
I'm
talking the people that won't
condemn the collectivism.
Are you collectivizing? The group of people.
But is that not a collectivism?
No, it's not a collectivization. Because
a group
it's not
is not a collective?
You haven't listened to what collectivization is. You're poorly read. Can you please go read a book?
Easy, Jonathan.
A little bit of philosophy, though. Come on. I'm not asking a lot, Andrew.
You're now attacking the person, which is not ideal in a debate.
Let him attack. I'm attacking him. Let him attack.
Yeah, to be honest, it's happening both ways.
Okay,
right?
So can
we have a conversation, Andrew?
I'm very interested in all this.
Cut these two mics off.
No, the reason why, guys, if you've just joined this craziness here, Cliff Central on Frankly Speaking, we're speaking to the Renegade Report. They have a podcast here, Jonathan Witt and Roman.
It's a top 5 podcast.
Kamenak.
There
you go.
What a dumb
long before this campaign.
16,000 followers. But the point is, we're talking about white tears, white guilt, and I suppose why people started this campaign.
None of those things
raised by 47,000 rand. Roman, the reason why I haven't switched mics off is because I really do believe that this is not about facts. There is emotion, and you can't take emotion out of situation. It's just impossible. You can't. Even the most amazing philosophical person
will not take... All those donations were made on emotion. Man.
Absolutely.
I'm not disputing that.
There you go.
Where have I said that?
No, we're not saying that you have. Sure. I'm just saying that this is why I don't want to switch off mics.
Cool.
The point is here is that... And the thing that I'm so interested in is to say, not that your individual act was a problem, you know, the fact that you donated money to someone. It's the fact that it feels like it's in a vacuum. It feels like you did this and it could have been in any country in the world. And the truth of the matter is, both of you are living in South Africa in the time, 2016, where we know what the issues are. We know. You're a red man. You've just stated that. You know what the issues are, right? It's very clear. Unemployment rates are through the roof, okay? We talk about access to the economy. We know white capital is huge.
Bullshit. White capital, what is that? Come on.
White capital.
Come on,
you don't believe it exists?
No.
What is it? Define it for me.
White people having money.
Yes, a lot of people have money.
No.
Inequality. Yes. That's what it is, guys. So yeah, don't... Inequality, so look, Roman, you see, Rory, and this is the problem.
Rory,
no, but this is the problem. You know what we're talking Rory, about. You're trying to...
You use
no,
terms and
you're
don't
deflecting.
Them.
But don't you're deflecting.
Shout.
Don't you know?
I can't shout.
Roman,
please don't
you can shout,
shout at me.
Go ahead. You can't
I
shout.
Can't.
You don't have a voice.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Thank
that's
you
not,
so
that's
much.
That's not my problem. But
triggered.
But here's the point, dude. The fact of the matter is you guys
easy,
I'm not talking
easy,
to you dumbass keep quiet
easy with the language
here's the point guys we cannot ignore the economic inequality in this country
that is based
primarily on race so for you to go
around
but here's the point
who said we
Andrew
were, Rory?
Is speaking about Andrew is saying let me answer you right so Andrew is asking a very important question around in the context of this country and he raises terms that you guys are familiar you know what he's talking about but you continue to deflect and you refuse to deal with the specific issues because you're trying to be academic about this
if
thing
you make a
this
term,
is a real
it.
No but
first
so
principle.
We've defined it we've got an issue here
white
we've
people
got,
money.
We've,
is
got
that the term?
We've got economic inequality in this country
yes.
that is based on race
right
now do you think that this statement is part of this statement that you guys have been part of and what we've seen. Do you think that it's really about a waiter's feelings that have been hurt or do you think it's part of this broader racial cold war that we're seeing in this country?
What?
And should we not be cognizant of that?
Okay, firstly, where's the racial cold war? I have not seen it. I don't know about you guys. I spend my days speaking with lots of people all over Johannesburg, in the CBD and elsewhere. People are going about their business, doing their work, interacting.
No, come
racism
on.
Racism is not a problem. There's yeah. fact for
racism
this.
Racism is not a problem.
It's not a major problem. There are statistics for this. There are statistics for this.
In this
guys,
country.
Where's your facts? I'll bring you facts.
Okay, wait. Let's hear the facts. Racism is not a problem.
Let me hear. According to which facts?
The IRR's report. They did a poll.
Yes.
And they showed that racism doesn't rank.
How big was the sample?
The sample was big enough to make the poll accurate.
No, you are talking about facts. What was the sample
it was
size?
3,000 people.
3,000 people
rural
in a country of how many
urban,
people?
80%.
In a country of...
80% were black in
yes,
the poll.
In this country, 3,000, you mean it's a meaningful...
Do you not know how polling works? You don't have
I
to
want
have
to,
millions.
Yeah, so don't
that's
come and
polling
say it's a
works.
Fact. It's not a fact.
It is a fact.
It is not
polling
a fact.
Polling works. 3, always works on a few thousand
guys,
people. It never works
on
millions.
Hold on.
But a sample size
don't
of
don't talk
3,
to a scientist about sample size. I will annihilate you.
You are not a scientist.
All right, that's it. I want to ask you something. Hello. I want to ask you something. You guys say... That you guys say that the race we are not a racist society. This is what you said.
I never said
wait.
That.
So what did Jonathan?
We said that racism is not one
issue.
Of our major problems. That's what we said.
So what is our major? Why is racism not a major issue?
Because if you look at the polling data and you look at people in general, the major problem we have is unemployment, right? 40% unemployment across the board. Most of them poor black people. That's mm-hmm. a fucking outrage that after 23 years or whatever of democracy, mm-hmm. this economy hasn't changed. Why hasn't it changed?
You're saying because government.
There are reasons for it, mm-hmm. right? You guys.
So racism. So just let's get this straight because I want to make sure we understand this correctly.
Right.
Three students, UCT students, right? Last year, go piss on someone after a good night of clubbing, right? They go and piss on someone.
Andrew, we didn't say racism doesn't exist.
Okay,
we
but
said
it's not a major
one of the major issues
okay.
Concerning South Africans.
You don't feel like you have any racial prejudice in your mind. You're not. You haven't been
socialized. But you can go ask the more than 20,000 black patients I've treated at Barra willingly.
Come on, you can't You can't use that argument.
Oh, if I hate people, based on their skin color, so why would I dedicate my life to helping all people? No. I don't discriminate on them.
Matthew Tennyson in an interview, which you also, Roman, said was absolute rubbish.
And he's an absolute arsehole.
He's an absolute arsehole. Said, I'm not racist because I have black friends.
Yeah, lovely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so what does he have to do with me?
There's nothing wrong with that road, Rory.
Okay, come on, guys. Can you two just shut the fuck up for now, please?
Guys, easy.
You went down that road? I've treated 10,000 black people and therefore I am not a racist.
You can carry on going. And that's not what I said, Rory. It wasn't what I said. You try to invoke that I have some sort of racial discrimination.
Stop shivering. Just try and say that without shivering.
For fuck's sake, shut up, you cunt.
There we go. So, I think that's where we should leave that.
No, Andrew, come. You're now having a discussion.
I'm just...
Go ahead.
I wanted to understand why... Because I think this is the root of it, right? You guys don't believe that there's any racial issues inside... Or racism... Sorry. Let me retract.
Please say what we said.
Okay. Racism is not a big issue.
A major issue for most people in this country. Yes, and that is backed up by polling data. Which is a lot more than other people have. It's one point of data that we have used. No one has disagreed with it yet. Everyone else does not use data to make their claims.
But hold on one second.
They use anecdote.
One second. So we're saying that... So this is, I think, where this comes from, because now you don't think that racism is such a big issue in South Africa. You believe it exists, but it's not a big issue.
I'm not saying given that. the polling data,
but you accept it to be true, right?
It's a fact. Data is not fact.
So then you don't believe that racism is a big issue, or you do? I'm just trying to understand.
The polling data says racism is not a big issue, right? On that point of data, it's not. Maybe it is more than what the polling suggests. Maybe racism is a massive issue in this country.
Mm.
Maybe
but
not.
But what do you think?
Who knows?
What do you think?
I think most people don't think it is.
No. Do you think racism is a big issue in this country? You do not think that?
No. I think the media thinks it is, and I think public intellectuals think it is, and I think
and
academics
a lot of black
think
people,
it is.
People who experience it, people who experience the worst forms of racism, they believe it is. Let me help you guys with your polling data. So, you're saying that of a sample of 0.005% of the country's population, you are drawing an inference.
Rory,
you are drawing
not
an inference.
Said,
no, I need to.
It's not
data.
How research works
no,
and
no,
polling
no, no,
works.
But I
Rory.
Want you. No. But you're saying that this is a fact that you guys stand
no,
on.
It's
a
not.
Single,
Rory, I stand
a
on the fact
poll,
that vaccines work in people,
poll,
but they haven't tested them on all 7 billion people.
A single poll. No, we're talking about sample size, dumbass.
That's
there's
how
a difference
sample
between,
size works.
There's a difference between a sample size and a population size, right?
You can have a sample size as small as 10 people and prove something statistically significant.
And you're believing that that is a fact? It is a fact that race is not an issue in this country? You believe that? You genuinely believe that?
It's about things
you have lost your damn mind in South Africa.
Rory,
it's a science.
If you let us talk.
No. Listen to me. I need to understand. In South Africa, you believe that race is not a problem? You genuinely believe race is not a problem?
You said it's not a major issue.
Data, the polling shows it's not a major problem. You have not asked me whether I agree with it.
We asked you. You are not answering the question. Andrew just asked you.
I answered already. I said for most people, I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah, so we asked you. We said you, not most people. Not most people.
Radio hosts.
You.
Media.
You, Roman. What do you think?
I said I don't think it's a major issue.
Okay.
And
there we go. Finally.
Unfortunately, that is where we're going to have to leave it today. It has been a mess of discussions.
An absolute fucker.
Thank you, Roman and Jonathan from the Renegade Report. I want to apologize just quickly to both Roman and Jonathan, because I don't believe, regardless of their views, which I disagree with, I don't believe we should be hurling insults
on
at individuals.
Behalf.
On my behalf. You don't have to apologize. I want to apologize on my behalf. Rory, where does this leave us? What are you feeling right now?
So this is, and I think here's the problem is if we as a country believe we're going to move forward, we need to get to a point where people such as Roman, such as Jonathan, are able to engage with the real issues of this country and to engage with them honestly, mm-hmm. right? And this for me is they're claiming the higher ground, but their feet aren't touching that ground, and their feet aren't touching that ground because they refuse to acknowledge the reality of what's happening in the hearts and minds of ordinary South Africans, most of whom are black. The reason why I've been emotional in this, because it is an emotional thing, right? To try and intellectualize this and to make this an objective thing. It's not an objective thing for me when racist incident after racist incident happens. And even when the statement happens, right? So you've got Porky over there making statements even as I'm speaking, right? And it's exactly that point that really it irritates me. And so I don't think I would have done this topic justice and been authentic about it if I had not responded in an emotional way because that's how I'm experiencing it, right? And I think until such point that we realize that we do need to acknowledge these emotions, the same way they responded to the emotions of a girl who was hurt by the words of somebody else, why do they refuse to acknowledge the emotiveness of everything else and everyone else's response to it, right? Why is it okay to address her emotions and not to address the emotions? It's because they do not see humans in us. That's ultimately what it's about. Mm. And that's where I'm leaving it.
All right, that's where we got to leave it, unfortunately. Guys, thank you so much.
Let him respond.
No, we're out of time, unfortunately. Duncan's going to kill us. All right, respond, Mr. Roman.
Yeah, wrong mic. Okay.
Sorry, apologies.
It's perfectly fine to disagree in ideas in a, you know, in a situation like this. Doesn't need to be emotional. Doesn't need to be called fat fuck or whatever else you called us. And
he called me a cunt.
Easy, yes. What is your point,
yes.
Roman?
Anyway, ideas matter. We can debate them without being all of us absolute cunts about it. Thank you so much. Cheers.
There it is from the Renegade Report themselves. You can check out this podcast, www.cliffcentral.com / frankly speaking.
Let me just say, Kerry asks, why must Rory be so aggressive? And
no,
I think,
why must
no, yeah, why you, and, it, and you know what? I think we really need to. These things aren't about. This is not about an intellectual conversation. It is an emotional thing for most South Africans, right? And for as long as mostly white people refuse to acknowledge the hurt that all of this causes, they will continue to do these insensitive things that live in a vacuum as if this country just, you know, was born in a vacuum. We have a context, and if you continue to insist on ignoring that context, we will continue to have the problems we have in this country.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Rory. I'm with you.
Nah,
I feel
you.
You
don't have to be with me. It's okay.
No, I like where this went.
Nah.
Oh, no, I'm
you
not with you.
This. You love this. So,
I love this.
So I told Andrew this was going to happen, and he was like, it makes for good radio.
That's
let's do it.
True. That's not true.
You know
you said that. Oh, wow. All right, guys. If you have anything to say, please hit us up on Twitter at @Rory_Shabalala or at @Yebo_Levy. This conversation sounds like it will probably go on for a little while. Thank you so much for joining us. Have yourself a great, great week. Ciao.
This is CliffCentral.com.